What in the world is this thing we call worship? Hello, my name is Dave Thomas, and this is Good Word, a commentary, a production by the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome. I thought as we begin this series of discussions, some of you might like to know that we follow a prescribed lesson. If you're interested in following that, you can Google the words Sabbath School, and the very first link that you see will have a place that talks about the current lesson. If you want to follow along and even be ahead of us, you can use that. I'm happy to have two colleagues with me today, Dr. Pedrito Maynard Reed, who's a New Testament and Biblical Studies professor, and Dr. Alden Thompson, who is also Biblical Studies, but in the Old Testament. And gentlemen, welcome here. We are going to be talking for a long time, 13 weeks, in fact, on the subject of worship. And as we begin that, I think I should let everybody know that Pedrito actually has a book published on this, so I'm going to be looking to him for a lot of commentary along the way. But I thought here that as we take up the subject of worship, and we're going to look at it this quarter from many different angles, from many time periods, biblical times, all the way up to more recent times. But worship, I think you'll agree, is a big thing in human life. Those who do archaeology have discovered that some of the emblems and the articles that are associated with worship are some of the oldest and, in some cases, the most expensive that we find. I wonder if we could talk about what worship is. In other words, if I were asked to ask you to define worship, what kind of commentary could you offer on the subject? What is worship?
For one, it comes from an old English word, worth-ship. Mm-hmm. It's to ascribe worth to something, someone. So worship is all human beings ascribe something of worth to an object or to a person or to a thought or a being.
Okay, so you're saying the English word worship is a condensation of worth-ship.
I can see
how that could happen if you had to say those two quickly.
That's exactly right.
Alden, you have any thoughts on that, the definition of worship?
I think worship for me is encapsulated in the word awe.
A-W-E.
A-W-E, where you are simply lost in a sense of presence of something that's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you offer a very quick and simple definition. All the discussions that go on about worship would lead one to think that maybe it has to do with rituals and I mean, there's all kinds of controversies about worship, but by your definition, it sounds to me like it's almost an instinctive thing, or it's almost an automatic thing?
Yes. And why there are so much controversy is because we all give to something that is special a different type of response or reaction. Mm-hmm. If something is extra special, then we treat it in a certain way. Certain people go to Olive Gardens and they take their time as they eat that Italian food because that's special. The same person,
and they eat it slowly.
The same person go to McDonald's and they want to get out of there very fast. They just want to fill themselves. And they treat the thing differently because of the value they place on it. And some people, when they place value on something, they get excited and they want to stay there a long time. Another person want to treat something with value and they are quiet. They are what we would call reverent because their personality allows them. So we will constantly have divisions as to how we worship because of our personalities and how we treat things that are very special to us.
And so, I mean, automatically you would agree then that there are cultural variations as to what's appropriate in worship and what isn't.
And you mentioned my book, which is what I spend a lot of time talking about in this book called Diverse Worship, to show how as you travel around the world and in periods of times, you're going to find people doing things so differently. And as the world becomes a neighborhood, this discussion, debate becomes more intense. because we are finding people who are accustomed to worship in a certain way coming into the neighborhood of another set of people who worship a different way, and both think the other is wrong instead of recognizing that they're both right because they're both giving honor and adoration to the Most High One in a special way that is meaningful to them.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say the model of food there is a good illustration. Doesn't even need to be culture. It can be simply temperament and personality.
Exactly.
Because if I like something, I'm not going to sit here and relish it. I'm going to gobble, 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 gobble.
And you remind me that in some places on this planet, a sign of respect is to remove your shoes.
Yes.
Whereas in other places, if you went to church and removed your shoes, it would be horrifying.
Absolutely.
Like you're showing disrespect.
Absolutely.
So if we were to look at this from kind of an overall perspective as Christians, then from what you're saying, a Christian mandate to worship arises from a proper understanding of the grandeur and awesomeness of God. Would you agree with that?
Partially.
Okay.
Because God has demonstrated himself throughout Scripture as not just grand and awesome in a traditional sense, but the one who is all and is my, this is the closest one to me. Mm-hmm. So I like the parent analogy, especially as it comes in the New Testament, and you'll see me coming back to the New Testament a lot. I see my mother as a picture of what God is. I have super respect for my mother. Mm-hmm. But I can play with her in a very respectful way, and we can have fun. And there are times when I'm very quiet in her presence listening to her. But I respect her, and I see God as that overarching one that I bring this worship to.
So do you think there are any human beings who do not worship?
I think we're likely to find the attitude, a sense of awe. I know certain people in art, for example, may not be religious at all, but when they're in the presence of art, they can be simply overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And it almost transcends reason. I think that's where we get in difficulties. For some people, worship can be very rational, but I think when you're really immersed in something, you're not even aware that you're thinking.
And that will be a point that we'll keep coming back to. When you worship, if it's just rational and cognitive, then it's only half of worship or less. And you're kind of, but when you truly worship, there is the rational and there should be the cognitive, but it overwhelms you so much that you're taken into another sphere outside the three dimensions that we have in our regular life. And that, for me, is true worship, because God is beyond all of this.
Now, in the lesson, they looked at the book of Genesis, particularly at the possibility or the prospect of worship prior to, in the Garden of Eden. And what do you gentlemen think about the prospect or the kind of, or the necessity of worship in an environment prior to sin? Is that something viable? I mean, do you know of any things that give us a clue as to what worship might have been like in Eden?
Well, it seems to me, as you read Genesis 3, even after sin, there was a sense of when God came into the garden, he was simply seeking fellowship. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve ran away and were afraid. And what you find beginning in the garden, this fear develops, so God becomes so overwhelming that it's not just a sense of awe, it's a sense of terror. Mm-hmm. And I think the word terror would never apply in the Garden of Eden before sin.
Okay, so you are kind of identifying two features there. One is that there's an interaction of personalities, mm-hmm. of fellowship, mm-hmm. and also the absence of fear. You have anything you want to add to that, Pedrito?
And it shows relationship. If we can, and we'll come to that over and over again in the lesson, of worship as relational. Mm-hmm. When they worshiped in the garden, there was a relational, the God and human talking together. There was an interconnectedness. When sin came, there was a brokenness. And if we have worship where we feel God is a great judge who's going to zap us, so I better not say a word in worship because I'm going to be zapped, it's because of sin. That I cannot now talk to God, still respect him as my creator, but I have a relationship mm-hmm. with him. Mm-hmm. So I saw them constantly worshiping, not just 1 hour for the week in the Garden of Eden. There was perpetual worship.
Yeah, and actually it's a very touching scene there where it talks about how God would come in the cool of the evening and he would visit with them. That's, to me, to picture that and realize that's no longer possible is one of the great, it produces a great sense of tragedy. So you've already suggested some things that happened as a result of the fall, and old and new too. You want to expand on that any, that fear comes in?
Well, I think that if one is immersed in a situation where one is in terror of God, God has to recognize that. So at Mount Sinai, those people could only worship a God who scared them half to death, or three-fourths to death, or nine-tenths to death.
Yeah.
And they were just – and God says, that's right, good. I'm glad you were frightened. See, it's so – one has to take that into account, that those who are immersed in a particular culture or way that's marked by high authority, by terror, that's the way they're going to worship.
Which brings to the point that we have to be very careful how we even, as we go through these 13 studies, that we will spend most of the time in the Old Testament and use it as the paradigm for worship. And I would say that's a paradigm for worship with people at a particular time.
Yes.
When you come to the New Testament, God sent Jesus down to be incarnated with us. It's the same God. So it's not that God of the Old Testament is a bad God, or that we can't worship that way. Is that there is also the New Testament that now says God with us.
Yeah.
There are both aspects of worship that we have to keep in tension.
But Pedrito, let's not forget that the Bible that Jesus and the disciples used wasn't what we call the Old Testament. So they didn't have any problem using the Old Testament as a source book for worship.
Oh, and I have no problems with that. But then Jesus would come and he says, you have heard that it was said.
Yeah, but I say to you.
But now I say unto you. Yeah. Then that is where we move forward.
In the last minute or two, the great contention between two brothers, Cain and Abel, that seems to have been over a worship ritual. Any comments on that?
I'm not sure it was the ritual. It was the attitude.
Okay, the attitude.
It's often said that that Cain didn't do the right thing, the right sacrifice. But I think if you read the account carefully, he came to it with the wrong attitude.
Attitude, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because God was, in other places, God accepted harvest time. I mean, we bring fruits and everything as our sacrifice and as our gifts, and God accepts it. Yeah. The attitude, absolutely, Alden is right on that.
And it's interesting how the attitude that went sour results in very hot animosity from one brother to the other, resulting in his death, so...
You wonder how, if we try to extrapolate that to today, what do we have in our worship when we come together with the wrong attitude, brother or brother, sister against sister, you know?
So actually, attitudinal things may be far more important, and I think we'll run into that today. They are far more important than whatever the ritual might be. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. This is an interesting beginning to what will be quite a few weeks of discussion. I trust that those of you who are listening will plan to join us. So my thanks to you, Alden, my thanks to you, Pedrito, and also my thanks to Chad Ofterhaar, our engineer. And thanks to you for listening. We look forward to being with you again next time. For the Good Word, I am Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.